defendant in an equitable cause of action has two different defenses he can, well, actually three, I guess. And what do you think? Well, I didn't do any of those things. It's all false accusations. But there's other things. One of which is latches, and the other is unclean hands. Latches means that the plaintiff waited too long to bring the action. It's no longer fair to grant the relief the plaintiff seeks because of the passage of time and the change of circumstances. You don't need to know any more detail than that. That's close enough. Unclean hands means that the plaintiff engaged in bad faith and misconduct that he's accusing the defendant of. Doing the same thing.
We're talking about
the defenses that you can bring to an equity lawsuit. An equity lawsuit is any lawsuit where you're asking the judge to order somebody to do something. You're not asking for money damages. Number two is a simple false imprisonment case. Just false imprisonment, if the person could have reasonable and safe means of escape available to him or her, but just simply chose not to, they're not falsely imprisoned. That becomes consent.
I wanted to ask a question about that. Remember that girl that she got kidnapped by that guy and he had her out back or something and had kids with her and she was held out back there in the tents for just years and years and years?
Yes, well, it wasn't that long, but I think it was a couple years.
Done?
What?
Utah. You remember about Utah?
Yeah, Utah. It was like 20 years. It was a long time.
Yeah.
Right. But that wasn't a civil false imprisonment case. That was a criminal kidnapping case. The issue there was what he did, well, two issues. What he did when he first took her, which was actually two crimes. It would be home invasion, breaking into somebody's home, the kidnapping of the girl, and it would be the third crime is he repeatedly had sex with her, apparently, criminal sexual conduct. So the mere civil tort was certainly the last thing that anybody cared about at that point when they were going to get into free felony. Okay.
If you're able to escape, but the chances of you being harmed during escape?
That's what I say. Reasonable and safe means of escape.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's all the law requires you to do. Take reasonable steps. Anything, nothing more than that. Three deals with slander per se. We covered categories of slander per se tonight. I shouldn't say Lucas did. But remember that there has to be a publication. Somebody has to hear it in order to be able to sue somebody for slander. So watch out for words like told somebody privately. Well, I just gave away the answer to that one, didn't I? Awful nice of me to do that. Four also deals with libel and slander. And it deals with defenses. And that's where this idea of privilege comes in. Certain kinds of statements are privileged, meaning that you can't sue somebody because of it. We talked about the spousal communication privilege, communication between a husband and wife that was intended to be private. Truth is an absolute defense to a libel action. You could say that you could accuse somebody of the worst thing imaginable. If it's true, there's no libel or slander because it's not a false statement. There's a congressional privilege, which comes up sometimes. Anything that a member of Congress says while in Congress, on the floor of Congress or in the Senate, is privileged, even if it otherwise could be the basis of a libel or slander, actually, slander, of course, pledged to be both because everything that's said in Congress is also recorded. The public record, so we will forever headline. Five deals with assault. I think the elements of assault are an intentional act. We never did finish that one. On one person, placing another in fear, imminent fear, something that's going to happen within seconds. Imminent fear of either offensive bodily contact or personal bodily injury. Either way, you either fear you're going to be injured or you fear you're going to be touched and you don't want to be touched. Assault.
So, when you serve somebody and if they don't want to be touched, wouldn't that be assault?
Too ambiguous. What does it mean, scared?
If they're germophobic, though, and it's well known that they're germophobic, you throw that piece of paper at them.
If someone's coming towards you and they're about to touch you and you don't want them, and you don't want to be touched, it doesn't matter about germophobic. You're assaulting.
We had an argument last night, me and some of my friends, on whether or not throwing a drink at somebody is a hard thing, if that's something.
Sure is.
If you throw anything at someone.
Imminent fear of either offensive bodily contact.
100.
If it would hit you, and, you know, if the liquor gets in your eyes, you could be injured.
That's what I said.
But it doesn't have to be. It can also be offensive bodily contact. Ooh, I don't want that stuff on my skin. Offensive bodily contact.
Okay.
Ooh, I don't want him touching me. He's got cooties. There.
I don't think a lot of people.
All right, six.
He saw like the girl off on
your ears going.
Six. Courts. Appeals. You lose, you have a trial, and you lose at the circuit court level. You have an appeal of right to the next higher court, the Court of Appeals. But you don't have an appeal of right if you reached a consent agreement and you changed your mind. I don't like that divorce settlement. I think I want to go up to the Court of Appeals and appeal it. No, not if it's a consent divorce settlement. If you have a trial, yes, not if you have a consent agreement. So you only have an appeal. Appeal of right means the Court of Appeals has to hear it. Otherwise, you can ask for permission for appeal, but they don't have to grant it and they don't have to hear it. Seven, we covered that. Don't confuse libel with invasion of privacy. Lots of students want to talk about public figure libels, and they want to call that invasion of privacy. Don't do that. Keep libel distinct from invasion of privacy. And eight is our I want to be naked question. So you got to know that that's got to be one of the invasion of privacy. So it's a little fact situation. Simply look at these facts and decide whether or not you think there was an invasion of privacy. If somebody conducts their life in a way that's not very private, it's just a common sense thing. You look at the facts and you really can decide for common sense. Is this person knowing that somebody is watching them and doesn't take any steps to change that? Or does somebody not know? And the only way the person was able to see him was because they took unreasonable steps to get in the position to be able to do so. What I also let you do in the margins of these multiple choice questions, because some of them you get four possible answers, and some of them are close, you can write in the margin, and if it appears to me you know the rule, you understand the rule, or maybe we're tricked by the wording of the question, then sometimes give it to you. So if you think there's two right answers, or no right answers, or no right, write in the margin, and I'll see what you have to say. Nine is our Obama Clinton McCain question, and we covered that, the two duties for landowners, social guests and business invitees. 10 is strict liability. This is one of the examples of a strict liability that I gave in class. If the commercial activity is unreasonably dangerous, then the company has strict liability for anybody that's harmed. No proof of negligence needs to happen. If it isn't negligence, it's strict liability. It's liability without negligence based on the nature of the activity. 11 deals with personal subject matter jurisdiction. Subject matter jurisdiction is just being in the right court. Long arm jurisdiction we talked about tonight. In diversity jurisdiction we talked about the first night. Diversity jurisdiction means that if somebody in one state wants to sue somebody from another state, you can file it in federal court. That's all in diversity. Diversity jurisdiction doesn't have anything to do with race, gender, or anything like that. That's just what they call it. It's diversity jurisdiction. So a person in Michigan wants to sue an Ohio company, they can go and file it in federal court in Ohio or a federal court in Michigan.
You said three. You said subject matter jurisdiction, something else.
Long arm, personal, and diversity. Talked about long arm tonight. I'll get into that. Let's see. Twelve, juries. We talked about that. Proximate cause, 13. The but-for test, but-for what the defendant did, plaintiff wouldn't have been injured. Four, you get them when there's multiple causes. If you can still prove it was what this defendant did was a substantial contributing cause of the injury to the plaintiff in cases in which there can be more than one. That doesn't happen a lot, but some factual situations can have two defendants that are the proximate cause. And 14 deals with standards of care. We talked about doctors tonight. Last week we talked about the emergency doctrine. If you are in an emergency situation that you're confronted with and you have to make a really snap decision to try to protect somebody, you're given wider latitude. And it would take a lot to hold somebody responsible and get a judgment in that situation when they have to make a snap decision. The emergency doctrine. We've also talked about children, trespassing children. And when you have conditions on your property that naturally attract children, such as a trampoline, animals, swimming pool, would be the three best examples. You would have to take steps to keep those children off your property and not simply call their parents. Physical stuff. Keep children off your property. And one who attempts to rescue a person, if you leave the person that you're trying to rescue in a worse situation than they were in before you got there, you're going to be liable. That's common law. Some states have Good Samaritan statutes. You're not going to be sued as a Good Samaritan. But I want you to understand that rule. Some of you may end up not in Michigan, so you can know that. And dram shop liability is 15. It simply means liability for negligent drams. No, that's not right. Dram shop liability is selling alcohol to a person who has shown signs of visible intoxication before he sold them the alcohol. Whether it be the liquor store, whether it be the bar, whether it be the house, the person that has a party at their house and they're providing the alcohol.
You call that what shop liability?
That's called dram shop liability in our Michigan law. In the essay, I have a famous singer. He has his next door neighbor. He's got some of his property. You've got to decide, is there a tort because he's got his property? Did he damage it? Did he not damage it? Did he obtain dominion and control over that property contrary to the wishes of the other party? That's conversion if he did. Civil tort of conversion. But remember that conversion is an intentional tort. We're not talking about negligent conversion, so read the question very carefully before you start answering. And then, if you don't stop there, because this person is a famous singer, I'm sure that Michael knows who he is. People closer, I don't mean to say you're old, but people closer to my age would know who he is. Then, of course, we get the neighbor talking to the Ann Arbor News about this guy. Newspaper. This guy lives in that area. He probably already knows what I'm talking about. Still is there. And the Ann Arbor News prints an article. Okay, so you've got to decide whether or not was this somebody's opinion or was this an assertion of fact. If this is false, is it the type of thing that would severely damage his reputation, such that it's libel? And since we're talking about, and is this person a public figure? And if they are, you apply the public figure rule, which we're talking about tonight. You've got it. And you get all 40 points. Okay? You can write all you want. I don't care so much who wins and who loses. That isn't what's important. What's important here, because you're not going to have any control over who wins and who loses if you're involved in lawsuits. That's generally the jury to decide that. All I care about is that you understand the issues. That's it. What's the rule of the issue that's at stake here? That's all I care. The person has to show this, and this person has a defense, so they can establish that. Okay? No, we can't quit. No, we want to start contracts. You want 10 minutes of contracts?
No, I want to test information.